Hey, I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And today we are in week two of a series that we are going through, 1 Peter. And so through the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking and giving some highlights through 1 Peter. And we began this last week, and I got to tell you about the time that 1 Peter was written. It's important for us to understand context when we're looking at specific books in the Bible. And part of the context of 1 Peter is we know who wrote 1 Peter. Anybody remember who wrote 1 Peter? Way to go, guys. That's fantastic. You are much more responsive than the first service. I want to tell you that. That 9:30 service, they were dead asleep. In fact, before we get started, here's what I want to be able to do. I want everybody to be able to repeat after me in a couple of different phrases. All right? You guys ready for this? Audience participation time. Anybody ready? Some of you are like, no, I'm not. What are you getting ready to do? Here's what I want you to do. Just repeat after me. Everybody say, amen.
Amen.
All right, man. Can I get another amen? All right, let's try this one on for size. Can we get a, come on, somebody. Oh, I like that, man. I heard of some attitude back over in this section. I like that one. Let's see if we can get some attitude with that over here. Come on, somebody. I love that. That's great. How about this one? That's right. You get it? Come on. No, that one, that took you a little bit of time on that one. Let's try that one again. That's right. Oh, yeah. How about this one? Just yes. Yes. All right, now here's the thing. I know all of you can say those words now. So here's what I would love to be able to hear. I would love to be able to hear them during the message. I came in here today because I believe that God has a message. I came in here today. I'm ready to preach. Who's ready to listen? You ready to go? I hope that you're ready to go because I believe that God has something specific for us today. We're going over 1 Peter, who was written by who? And we know that it was written during the time, it was like 60 to 65 AD. Not exactly sure the date of it, but we know who was ruling the Roman Empire at that time, and it was a Caesar by the name of Nero. Nero, man, I'm going to tell you what, that guy was messed up. He was a twisted leader if we've ever seen one. In fact, one of the things that he liked to do for entertainment, we know that Nero, you know, he was around during the gladiators, right? He was around during the time of the Colosseum. Anybody ever seen the movie Gladiator? Like anybody? Right? Like that's if you haven't, you should watch it. It's really good, you know, because you're going to see what happens in the Colosseums. And here's what Nero did just for entertainment. He wanted to be able to entertain himself and entertain some other people. So here's what he did. He would take Christians because he loved to persecute Christians at that time. So he would take Christians and then he would skin an animal and then he would put that skin of an animal on that Christian like as a suit. And then he would place them right in the middle of a coliseum, and then he would let wild animals out on them just to maul them, chew them up, eat them, all that kind of stuff, just for entertainment. That was a twisted guy, right? Like that is just messed up. This is the time frame that Peter is writing this letter. He's writing to Christians who are dealing with this kind of persecution on a day-to-day basis. But if there's one thing that we know about 1 Peter, a couple of themes that we've seen through it is that there's a major theme of saying that even though you're in persecution, there's hope for you. There's hope in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't have to live in that persecution. You don't have to live in the trials. There is hope that you can have on a day-to-day basis. And the other major theme that we see throughout this book is that he says we need to live differently. Even though you live in this place, even though you live in the Roman Empire, you need to live differently. Let's look at see what it says here in 1 Peter 1:1. He said, "This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as," and everybody say this, "foreigners." They're living as foreigners in the Roman Empire. We know what it's like to be a foreigner, right? Like if you've ever been to another country. Or New Mexico, right? Like that feels a little different too, right? Like, man, New Mexico is like, what's the armpit of the United States? If you're from New Mexico, I'm sorry, but it's an armpit, man. It's really bad. Like you know what it's like to be in a different culture. You know what it's like to be a foreigner in a different place. And what is it like? Like you're like, man, they talk differently, they dress differently, they eat different foods, and more importantly, they have different values. They have different morals, different goals, different passions. And that's what it's like when you go to another country. And what Peter is saying right here, he's saying, even though you live in this place, you're living differently. You're living with different values, different morals, different goals, different passions. You're living differently. And when we become followers of Jesus, that's exactly how we are supposed to live. As foreigners, this is no longer our home. We're not living just as citizens of the United States. When we become a follower of Jesus, we become citizens of heaven. And that is how we are supposed to live. That is our home. We should live with those same values, with those same morals, with those same goals. We are citizens of heaven. This is no longer our home. We are to live as foreigners. We're to live differently. Are you ready to live differently today? Who's ready to be different? I hope you're ready to be different. And what we're doing is we're talking about what does it look like to be different. And I heard that. Come on, somebody. I love that. Come on now. I love that. Come on, somebody. It's fantastic. We're called to be different. We're called to live a different life. And today what we're going to be talking about is our actions and our behaviors. That we're not supposed to look like everybody else. We're not supposed to live as everybody else. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different from our friends. We're supposed to be different from our family members. We're supposed to be different from our neighbors. We're supposed to be different from those who do not follow Christ. And so if we're looking at the world and the culture that we live in for our morals, our values, and our goals, then we're not living differently at all. And I'm going to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you with this. If you claim to be a follower of Christ, you claim to be a Christian, and if you look at your life, are you different? If somebody else looked at your life, would they say that you live differently? Because if we're called to be different, and yet we are not, are you a follower of Christ at all? Our life should be producing something. How we live and our choices that we make, if we claim to be a follower of Christ, are you different? Who's ready to be different today? I hope that you are. And I hope you're going to be able to take this word today. I hope you're going to be able to take this message, apply it to yourself, and truly look, am I different? Do people say that I'm different? What are my values and what are my morals and my goals? Are they different from what culture tells me? Are you different? And today we're going to be talking specifically about our behaviors and our actions, that we need to be different in our behaviors and our actions. So how can we be different? Right? Like if you become a follower of Christ and we're supposed to be different in our behaviors and our actions, then how do we become different? Number one, the first thing is you need to change your actions, right? Like if we're supposed to be different from everybody, then we should change and our actions should be different from everybody else. So maybe it should be different from the way that we used to live, that there needs to be a change in our actions. Let me tell you something right away. Who is this message going to be for today? Who am I speaking to today? I'll tell you who it's not for. It's for everybody who's perfect, right? Like, so if you're in this place, you're perfect, you always make the right decision, you always make the right choices, then this message is not for you today. You can go ahead, sit back, relax, you know, put your arms up like that. Like, it's hard to do that in this jacket, but put your arms up. Be able to just sit back, chill, relax. You can even, man, go to Starbucks and get something. Today, you got the day off today, all right? But who is this message for today? This message is for maybe somebody in here who's made choices like I have. Let me tell you one. I was just having this conversation with somebody from our church just this week, and we were talking about cars, right? And we were talking about buying new cars, like not a car that's new to you, but buying a brand new car. Anybody bought? Ever bought a brand new car? Like anybody? Like you've done that? But that's kind of a special day, isn't it? Like you're like, this is my baby right here. Like it's an amazing moment when you buy a brand new car. I've only done it one time, and then I realized after I did that I was like, that was dumb, man. Like not to judge you if you do that, if that's your thing. I'm not judging you. You got the resources. Do whatever you need to do. But I was like, I just lost a lot of money as soon as I drove that thing off the lot, you know. So now I'm like, man, I'm buying a car a couple years old. Let you take the depreciation, and then I'm going to enjoy it later on. Like that's my decision. That's how we choose to do things. But man, I've done it one time. I bought a brand new car, and here's what I bought. I bought a Chevy S10. And man, I loved this Chevy S10. It was midnight blue, like it almost looked black, except in a certain light. And you're like, oh man, there's a little blue in that, right? Like it was just, I just loved the color of it. V6, extended cab, all of that. I mean, I loved this truck, this tiny little, I just loved this truck, you know? And the first week I had it, like what is it like when you get, even if it's a new car to you, you want to treat that car right, right? You do. You want to, like, don't touch it. Nobody mess with it. You go to Fry's or something, and where do you park? But you park way in the back, don't you? You're parking, like, by nobody. Nobody's touching this. Nobody's scratching it. Don't get around me at all. And that's how I was treating this truck. It was my baby, and nobody was going to be able to mess with it. Well, one day, I'm pulling up to where I lived. It was an apartment building at the time, and I had to run upstairs real quick. So it wasn't like I was just parking overnight, but I had to run upstairs really quickly. So here's what I did. I pulled into a spot right close to the front because I just got a couple of minutes, go upstairs real quick, coming right back down. There was nobody parked on my side, though, like on the driver's side. That was an empty parking spot. So I thought, okay, great. I'm just going to be upstairs for just a second, and then I'll come back down, and nobody's going to mess with my truck, right? So as soon as I get out of the apartment, I'm coming down the stairs, I see something parked next to my truck. And it's not another car, it's a boat, right? Like it's that like 1960s Cadillac, you know, like I got a car, it's as big as a whale, it's about to set sail. That's how big that Cadillac was, you know, convertible, that the doors were as long as this stage, you know, like, you know, what I'm talking about, right? And so I'm like, okay, there's a big old Cadillac right there. It's fine, no big deal. And then I get my keys out and I go to get in the door, and then in the extended cab part of the truck, there's a dent, and it has the same light blue color as this Cadillac right next to me. And my heart sank, right? Like you know. And then in that moment, you know, where I'm sitting there like, no, all of a sudden, all of that sadness inside of me, it turned to rage. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, are you kidding me with this Cadillac? And I had my key in my hand. I'm not sure if that was the right time for that one, but you know exactly what I did. I took that key, and man, from bumper to bumper, fender to fender, all along the side of that car, wow, man, and I just keyed that thing. And you know what? That wasn't enough for me. I was angry. I was full of rage. And so I reached back, boom, and I kicked in the door. And all of a sudden, in the big side of this Cadillac boat, there is a dent in the passenger side of the door. And all of a sudden, I was like, I need to leave here right away. This is not where I need to be. And so I got into my car and I drove away, and I never parked in that apartment parking lot ever again. That was a bad moment. Who's this message for today? Anybody who's made a decision like that. Maybe you've never gone so far as to be full of rage to kick in somebody's door, but I know that you've been in a place where you've made a poor decision. I know you've been in a place where you haven't made the right choice and your actions are not what you really want them to be. There needs to be a change in your actions, and maybe that one action has turned into a habit, and maybe you're full of all of these hurts, habits, and hangups, and you're like, something needs to change. My actions need to change. That's who this message is for today. The reality is that we need to be different. We're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to live full of rage. Nobody's supposed to kick in a door. We all can agree upon that, right? Doesn't matter where you are. But for some of us in here today, there needs to be a change in the way that we talk. There needs to be a change in the way that we think. There needs to be a change in our actions. We've got to be able to live life differently. Are you different from the world around you? And if you're answering that question with a no, maybe it's time for you to change. The question is, do you want to change? Do you want to be different? We need to be different. We need to change our actions. And not be like the world, not be like the culture around us, but be like Christ. If we claim to be followers of Christ, we need to be different, and we need to change our actions. Okay, that's great and nice and dandy, right? But how do we do that? How do we get to a place where we're changing our actions? How do we get to a place where I'm no longer going to kick in the side of a door, right? Because it doesn't just start in changing our actions, because we all know that, right? Like, we're like, okay, I'm trying to. I don't want to do this anymore, but yet I keep going back to it over and over again. See, the behaviors are just, that's just the external. That's what's going on the outside. We've got to be able to change something first, and that's where we need to be able to change our actions. You've got to be able to change your mind. To change your actions, you've got to be able to change the way that you think. That's where you've got to get to. You've got to change the way that you think. You've got to change your mind. Let me tell you something. We are in a place right now where there is a battle going on for you and for me, and we need to be prepared. Look at what it says here in 1 Peter 1:13. He says this, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. You have to prepare your mind. Man, you hear me say this all the time. I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I do is I grab my phone because that's where my Bible is at, and I read scripture. And then I dedicate time to praying about that, and I submit myself to God. I say, may the words in my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. And what am I doing in that moment? I'm submitting myself to God, and I am preparing my mind for the day. Like I said, there is a battle going on for you and for me, and we have an enemy, and his name is the devil. And the devil is sneaky, the devil is sly, the devil is going to come after you, there's no doubt about it. But here's what the devil doesn't do to us. The devil doesn't come up to us and whisper in our ear, hey, why don't you become a devil worshiper and get down in your basement and start to sacrifice chickens and goats, right? Like, the devil doesn't do that, because everybody be like, no, that sounds horrible. I don't even have a basement. I don't want to do that, right? Like, it's not the Midwest. Maybe that's what Midwest people do. I'm not doing that. Nobody does that, right? Like, that's not how the devil comes at you. How does the devil come at you? What is the battle going to be doing? The battle is in the way that we think. The battle is when the devil tries to be able to change the way that we think. He does it the exact same way that he came after Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. How did he come after them? Did he come after them and say, hey, you don't want to be like God at all. God's a bad person. You don't want to be able to follow him. No, that's not how he did it. Adam and Eve are in the Garden of Eden. Everything's going well. You know, they're loving life. It is full of life. He says, go forth, be fruitful, multiply. Like that, they're in a place of magnificent paradise. But there's just one thing. God says, don't eat of this tree. Don't partake of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then the enemy comes, Satan comes in the form of a serpent, and then what does he say? Did God really say that you shouldn't? Did God, you're not going to die. You know, in fact, you're going to be closer to God. Did God really say that? And he began to change the way that they thought. And that's exactly what happens to us. Is that we are in a place where there is a battle for how we think. Did God really say? Did God really say, man, you know what? You should wait until you're married to engage in this amazing gift of lovemaking that we have? Did God really say that your life is going to be ruined if you do that? Did God really say that you should go to church every single week and be there? Did God really say that you need to be able to give up your time and to be able to serve other people? Did God really say that you should pray all the time? Give me a break. You can't pray all the time. You can't read all of Scripture. You don't have enough time to do all of that kind of stuff. Did God really say that that lifestyle is not okay? Did God really say all of that stuff? And there's a battle going on for the way that we think. And pretty soon we give in to what culture is trying to teach us instead of what the Word of God is teaching us. There's a battle going on. It's happening in the mind. To be able to change our actions, we've got to be able to change our mind. We have to be able to change our thoughts. We have to change the way that we are thinking. Look at what Paul says here in Romans 12. It said, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Be different, right? Don't conform to what the world is trying to tell you. Don't act like everybody else. Don't give in to that, but be different. And then how do you do that? Let God transform you into a new person. How? By changing the way you think. How do you change your actions? By changing the way that you think. It starts with our mind, right? Like we think, oh, I just got to be able to change. I got to stop doing this and start doing that. No, you got to change the way that you think about things. You got to change the way that you're motivated. You got to change the way that you think. Let me give you an example of how Jenny and I, of what it looks like in our home to change the way that we think. This is what it looks like for us. Is that we're trying to raise two mighty men of God, right? Like we have two boys, one of them's 8, getting ready to turn 9, and a 5-year-old. And we're trying to raise them to be mighty men of God. We want to train them and raise them to be different with the power to think differently. And so there's a couple of behaviors that we have in our house that I'm sure that many of you have different behaviors that you have in your house that you're trying to please God in the way that you're doing things. This is something in our house for how we're trying to raise our boys so that we can please God and hopefully that they can grow up to please God as well. And the big one that we have in our house is the way that we talk. It's the way that we talk. See, there are certain things in our house that you can say. And there's certain things in our house that you cannot say. It's not okay to say certain things in my house. There are bad words and there's inappropriate words. And man, if inappropriate word happens, then we're going to sit down and be like, hey, buddy, you know, that was not the right time to say that. Then there's also bad words where they know, man, you got your one warning. If you say the bad word again, you're going to get some soap in your mouth, right? Like, we're going to clean that thing out, right? Like, and we don't have bars of soap in our house. We have like the squirt soap, you know? And so like, that's really difficult as a parent to get the squirt soap in their mouth because then as soon as you squirt it, it's like, poof, and it's like all out on the mirror all over the place. It's messy, man. It's not fun trying to be able to do this, you know? Some of you are like, man, your house is horrible. Putting soap in it. Man, it's just what the expectations are in our house. And so we have some certain things that it is not okay to say in our house. And here's one of them. OMG, right? Like, you know what I'm talking about. OMG. We don't say OMG in our house. That's not okay. It's not something that is acceptable in our house. That's just how we have chosen to be different. And we're not going to have that in our house. And then every once in a while, we'll have one of our boys might say it. Like, you know, it slips out, right? Like, they might say it, and then they'll say this. Well, my friend said it. Or they'll say, or my teacher said it. And I'm like, well, they're just burning in hell, all right? But that's not, no, I'm just joking. I don't say that to them. I'm like, well, that's how they chose to talk. That's not how we're going to talk. We're going to be different. We're going to talk differently than everybody else. Now, don't go up to them and say, oh, you shouldn't say that. That's not how we're doing it. Just as our choice, it's okay to be different, and it's okay to talk differently. And so we're trying to raise them to talk differently. But more importantly than that, it's not even just in bad and inappropriate words that we're not going to be able to have them say. This is the big one in our house, is that in my house, we build each other up, and we don't tear each other down. When we talk to each other, it's going to be an encouraging and an uplifting words. We don't tear each other down and try to be able to say, oh, well, it was all in good fun. Not in my house. It's not fun in my house. It's not funny in my house when you try to make fun of your brother. That's not how we do things in my house. We are going to lift each other up. We're going to build each other up, and we're not going to tear each other down. And so we model that. My wife and I, we model that in front of them. And so we talk well of each other. I build up my wife in front of my boys. Hey, boys, man, isn't your mom the most beautiful woman in the entire world? Good luck getting a woman as nice as your mom, man. She's amazing. She's gorgeous. She is wonderful. Man, isn't this food that she cooked, isn't this the most amazing food in the entire world? And like, no, these Brussels sprouts are horrible. Boy, you better watch your mouth right now. Like, you better build up your mom. This is amazing. We love each other. We build each other up. And I can tell you, I love the phase that my boys are in right now because they see me, when they see me, they think I'm Superman. Like they really do. They think like Dad, you're the strongest and wisest man in the entire world. I'm like, but that's a good point. You got a good point right there, boy. You know, like, but anybody watch the show American Ninja Warrior? Anybody watch American Ninja Warrior? Like, that's a fun show. We like watching that show in our house. And, you know, because my boys, then they want to be able to do all that stuff. They're adventurous, all that. And they'll always say this. Like, they see these obstacles, and they're like, Dad, you could do that. You'd be the fastest one. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I couldn't get off that first obstacle. What are you talking about? But thank you so much. I appreciate that. And you know why they think that of me? Do you know why they think that I can accomplish anything and that I'm awesome and incredible? Because that's how my wife talks about me in front of them. Because she builds me up. She doesn't tear me down. That's what we model in our house. We're going to be different from the world. We're going to talk to each other differently. And it gives them the courage to think differently. Because here's the most important thing when we're talking to each other is that I want my boys, the first thing that they do when they see anybody is to think how special that person is. I want them to think, what's the quality that they are bringing to this world? What is special about the way that God made them? And that's what we want to do is we want to change the way that they see everybody so that then when they're hanging out with your kids, when they're around their friends, when they see anybody, that they want to build them up instead of tearing them down, that's how we're raising them. So we want them to think about the world differently than everybody else does. It starts with the way that we think. But then it changes in the way that we talk. It changes the way that we act. It's so important for us. Look at what Peter says here in verse 14. He says, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Man, I love that terminology. Don't slip back into it, right? Like, man, like I said, the boys, it just slipped out, right? Like anybody ever had one of those times where I didn't mean to say that, it just slipped out, right? Like we talked about this before, you've heard me say this, that we fall into temptation, right? We fall into it. I don't know how it happened. I didn't mean for it to happen. I just fell into temptation. We slip back into our old habits. You know what nobody ever says? Man, I fell into holiness. I fell into righteousness. Man, how did you become such an amazing person and follow God? I don't know how it happened. It just happened one day. Nobody ever says that, right? You have to be intentional in the way that we live. We have to be intentional and prepare our minds for action and self-control. We've got to be ready for it. You don't slip back into holiness. Go on to verse 15 and 16. But now you must be holy. If you're a follower of Christ, now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For Scripture says, you must be holy because I am holy. And then this is where we get into one of the biggest lies that we believe. So we don't look at this verse and we don't think that this is what God's ultimate purpose and God's ultimate goal for us. Instead, we believe a lie that culture has ingrained in us. And maybe we don't think about it. It's just second nature. And it's that we believe that this verse should be read, be happy because God is happy. And we believe that happiness is our ultimate goal. And we believe that our happiness is God's most important purpose for us. See, we might not say it, but we truly think it. My happiness is what's important. And then when we think of happiness as our ultimate goal and happiness as the ultimate purpose that God has for us, all of a sudden, we believe in the theology of happiness, which means that God is there just to make me happy. God exists just to make me happy. Let me tell you something. God does not exist to serve you. You exist to serve God. That is why God is there. It's not happiness as our major goal. It is holiness. What does holiness mean? It means to be set apart. It means to be different. Be different as God is different from the rest of the world, from the culture that we live in. Don't fall into the theology of happiness. That's not what God's ultimate goal is for us. It's for holiness. You see, here's what happens when we buy into the theology of happiness. We think differently. And all of a sudden, even though it might be something that Scripture says, you shouldn't live that way, don't conform to this, we think that happiness is there. Happiness is the most important thing. And so that overrides what the rest of Scripture says. See, you know what? God just wants me happy. He wants me to be happy. And I'm not happy in this marriage. And if I'm not happy in this marriage, even though we've entered into a covenant relationship, if I'm not happy, that gives me every right and every reason to walk away. Scot-free. I'm just not happy. And I need to be in a relationship that makes me happy. It's all about what I want. Well, you know what? I know it says that, you know, in Scripture that I'm supposed to wait until I'm married to engage into a physical relationship with my boyfriend or girlfriend. But come on, that's going to make me happy, right? Like, it doesn't matter. That's going to make me happy. And so this is more important. And so we fall into that. Because if we believe that happiness is the major goal, then we're going to always seek after comfort and pleasure. We want comfort and pleasure. And then we believe that if there's anything that delays the comfort and pleasure, if there's any kind of inconvenience for us, oh, that's not what God's purpose is for me. He's not supposed to delay anything. I need it right here, and I need it right now, because that's what's going to make me happy. You know what? That thing right there, that stuff, that materialism right there, that will make me happy. I want to go after that thing because it's going to make me happy. And if we believe that, then we're going to be able to beg, steal, borrow, whatever it takes, go into massive amount of debt just to get that thing. Because that's what God wants, is for me to have that, for me to be happy. And all of a sudden, this lie that culture is teaching us all the time, happiness, well, are you just happy? You just need to be happy. What's the ultimate goal for your children? I just want them to grow up to be happy. Well, let me tell you something. Happiness is only based off of happenings, based off of certain situations. And there are a lot of situations in this world that don't make us happy, but they'll make you grow. They're going to make you stronger. They're going to make you a better person. But if we don't believe that that's supposed to happen for us, then all of that stuff, I need to get rid of all of it. And all of a sudden, our thinking and our thoughts and our mind have been changed. Why are our behaviors and our actions the same as the rest of the world? Because our thoughts have been conformed to the world. Because we believed this major lie, the theology of happiness. God says to be holy as I am holy. Be set apart because I'm set apart. Be different because I'm We're called to be different. We need to change our actions and our behaviors, that they're not like the rest of the world. We need to change the way that we think. But again, it doesn't start just in the way that we think, because it's hard for us to be able to be renewed in our mind. We can't do it on our own. Who's strong enough to just be able to change the way that you think at a drop of a hat? We're not strong enough to do that. You want to be able to change your mind? You want to be able to change your actions? To truly do that, you need to change your heart. To change your mind, you need to change your heart. We talked about the words that we say, right? Like in my house, these are the way that we think. This is the words that we say. Jesus talked about those words specifically in Luke 6:45. He says this, a good person produces good things from where? From the treasury of their heart. What comes from the heart? And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. See, we talk about being different in our actions, and we talk about being different in our thinking. Where does that start? In our heart. It starts right here. See, here's the deal. At Focus 314, we don't want to just see behavior modification. We don't want to, here's the deal. I'm not up here to be able to say, you know what, in your house, you should not say these words. These are the bad words. And if you're caught saying these bad words, well, then you're just no good to anybody. You better not say inappropriate words because they're inappropriate, right? Like they might not be in the bad list, but there you should not do that, right? Like, and I'm not going to stand up here and say, you shouldn't behave this way. If you're doing this and acting this way, there's no hope for you. Why don't you go to someplace else? You're not welcome in this church. No, that's all about behavior modification. And I'm not about behavior modification here. I'm not here to tell you, hey, you need to do this and don't do that, and give you this list of rules of right and wrong. That's not what I'm up here trying to do. Here's what I'm up here trying to do. Trying to point you to Jesus. I want to be able to point you to Jesus, because here's what I know. It's not about behavior modification. It's all about heart transformation. And the only person that's going to be able to change your heart, who's going to be able to push you from all of those sinful desires to want to be able to produce good fruit, is Jesus Christ. It's all about that. You want to be able to have a good heart? How do you have a good heart? Let's look here in 18 through 21. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from an empty life, to save you from all that old junk, to save you from all of the old behaviors, to save you from all of the old thoughts that you have, to save your heart. He did this. He paid the price because you, man, we bring it, right? We inherit it from our ancestors. Man, we got all messed up people that come in. We all know that. We're born into this sinful nature, but Jesus is the one that saves us. And it was not paid by mere gold or silver, what we think is valuable. No. He paid it through the blood of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came and he hung on a cross and he died so that you could live. Continue on. God chose him as a ransom long before the world began. But now in these last days, you have been revealed for your sake through Christ. It's only through Christ. It's only through Christ then that we have faith in God. It's only through Christ that we have a good heart. It's only through Christ. How do you change your behaviors? How do you begin to act differently from your friends, from your family, from your neighbors, from your coworkers? How do you act differently from everybody else? Through Christ. That he comes and he changes your heart. And then when you have your heart transformed, all of a sudden you're not trying to think about, well, I shouldn't use those words anymore. I shouldn't have those behaviors anymore. All of a sudden, it's not that I have to. All of a sudden, it's that I get to. I'm not doing this out of obligation. I'm doing it out of celebration. And then the next thing you know, man, you're not talking the same way. You don't even realize it. But pretty soon, somebody's going to come up to you and they're going to be like, man, there's something different about you. You don't talk the same way that you used to. You don't hang out with the same people that you used to. There's something different about you. Absolutely, because we are called to be different. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but conform to Jesus Christ. He will transform your heart and in turn renew your mind. And the next thing you know, man, you're not living the same way. You're not spending your money on the same things. You are completely different than what you used to be, and you're different in this world. You are a foreigner. This is no longer your home. Heaven is your home, and that's where your values, that's where your morals, and that's where your goals are going to come from. Frankie, you want to be able to come on up? You want to be different in this world? Where does it start? It starts in your heart. You want to change your actions? You want to change your behaviors and stop falling into those same patterns and those same things before? You got to change your heart. And it starts by saying yes to Jesus. The process starts by saying yes to Jesus. The process to know God, then to find freedom, to discover your purpose, and then make a difference in this world. You're going to be a different person when you say yes to Jesus. Because it's not about behavior modification. It's all about heart transformation. I'm not here to be able to tell you do this, don't do that. I can tell you how I live. I can tell you the choices that I make in my actions. My wife and I go down a path because I'm trying to please God. I don't live a certain way and make certain choices because I have to. It's because I want to. I want to please God. I don't follow His principles because I'm like, oh, I want to earn this. Ooh, I got to be able to do this. No, I just want to please Him. I just want to be able to obey Him. I just want to be able to be around Him more. Because that's where my heart is at. I'm no longer a person that's full of rage who's going to be able to kick in somebody's door. Let me tell you something, man. I got older cars now, and there's dents all over the place, and I've never walked out and been like, oh, I got to destroy something right now. The thought never comes into my mind. Because God changed my heart. And when He changed my heart, He changed the way that I thought. And I want to conform to Him and what His Scripture teaches me. And then all of a sudden, people come up to me all the time. There's something different about you. Man, you're in this Starbucks all the time. How come you're always in a good mood? Well, I'm not, but thank you. Something different about you. That's what God called me to. And not because I tried to. Not because I was trying to earn it. It just simply overflows from my heart. Because God changed my heart. He transformed me. And He made me different. Church, can you please stand today? I started the message by asking you a question and challenging you. I said, if you're a follower of Christ, are you living a different life? And I asked you, are you different? And I want you to be able to think about that today. When you're around your friends that aren't followers of Christ, when you're around your family members that aren't followers of Christ, around your co-workers that aren't followers of Christ, when you're living in this culture, are you different? What people say of you, they're different. And the other question that I have for you today is this. Do you want to be different? Do you truly want to be different? Do you truly want to have your values come from God? Do you truly want to have your morals come from God? Do you truly want to have your goals come from God? Or is the power of conformity too much for you? Is the power to be like the world too much for you? Because I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be in a place where you have peers and you have friends, but you just want to fit in. I just want to be liked. I just want to be around people that they can appreciate me. And I want to conform to the way they're living. Or do you want to be different and have a different story for your life, for your family, and for generations to come? Do you want to be different? And I can tell you right now, here's where it starts. If your answer to that is yes, and that's my hope and my prayer for every single person standing in this place today. My hope and my prayer is that your answer is yes. Is yes. Is yes. And if your answer to that is yes, then your answer to having a relationship with Jesus should be yes. Yes, I want a relationship with Jesus. Yes, I want to have Him in my life. Yes, I believe that He is my Lord and my Savior. Yes, I believe that He died on a cross to save me from myself. I want to be able to say yes. That's where it starts. And in that moment, that's heart transformation. And it begins a process for you to be able to find true freedom that you never have before. It's a process for you to live a different life. Do you want to be different today? And I want to give you an opportunity for yourself to answer that question. Frankie's going to sing through a song. We're going to put the words of the song up on the screen. You're going to be able to sing this song. But even as you're singing the song, I want you to be able to think in your heart, do I want to be different? I want you to think in your heart, do I want to have a relationship with Jesus? And my hope and my prayer for every person in this place is that you will say yes. Jesus, we give you our life today. Lord God, transform our hearts. Transform our hearts so that we can have a renewal of our mind and change the way that we think. Or that we don't have to conform to the ways of this world, that we can conform to you. God, that it's an audience of one, just one, that you're the only one that we're trying to please, Lord God. And then from that, God, that our lives are different, our lives are changed, our actions, our behaviors, our habits are different, God. But I pray for every single person in here today that you'll give us the strength to say yes to you, the strength to be able to stand up to the power of conformity and to be able to live according to your word, to please you, God. That's my hope and my prayer. And give us that strength. God, we praise you and thank you so much for being enough for us. We don't have to worry about our actions when we just give you our heart. You give you our mind. And you take care of all the rest, God. And we are so thankful for that. I love you. I praise you. And church, man, if you agree with me, if you love Jesus, let him know that today. Let him know. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everything that you're doing in our hearts and our lives, man. I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. And I love talking about him. And I love the fact that he has made me a different person, that he's called us to be different, because it's a better life. It's so much better than anything that I would have ever dreamed when I wasn't serving him. And that's my hope and my prayer for every single person.